There we go. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, 5. John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. John 14, 23. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 15. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 15. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening, realizing again how wonderful God is to all of us, how blessed we are, realizing that we have another wonderful opportunity to turn our attention away from the things of this world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. If you'll open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 15, we'll pick up our reading in a few moments with verse 11 and read down through verse 15. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful, so very thankful tonight that we're privileged to be here once again to open our hearts and minds to these eternal truths. We appreciate the fact that you love us and care for us. You've given us life. You've given us eternal life. You've blessed us each and every day. And tonight again, we rejoice in the fact that we realize how wonderful it is to be a member of the family of God. The Bible teaches us that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Help us to realize how powerful that is. We're members of the royal family. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, in these moments we're studying this evening, help us to be alert and ready to receive what you have for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11. Now this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall present his offering with cakes of leavened bread. Verse 14 of Leviticus 7, and of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings. Now our verse 15. Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning. Over the years, I have been the recipient of emails from a man I do not know, but know a little bit about him. His name is Horace Hooper. I'm always interested in what he has to say. He says, Thanksgiving Day is tomorrow. I know in my life there have been many Thanksgiving days, and I didn't feel I had very many blessings to count. Your experience may be the same. With the terrible events taking place in our world today, you may find yourself wondering just what is there to be thankful about. I'd like to offer you a little encouragement from the history of this national holiday. The roots of Thanksgiving Day are firmly planted in times of trouble. The children of Israel in bondage for 400 years and wandering in the wilderness for 40 more years set aside a specific time each year for a feast to thank God for his blessings. The pilgrims along in a foreign and hostile land, suffering from deprivation and disease, and facing the promise of another deadly winter, set aside a day to break bread with their enemies and give thanks to God. American citizens, in the midst of a civil war that pitted brother against brother, family against family, in a brutal and bloody conflict over the right of all men to be free, observed a day of thanksgiving to God. For the children of Israel, the bondage and wilderness of journey led them to the promised land. For the pilgrims, the sufferings of those first terrible years opened the doors to the new promised land. And for the citizens of America, the bloody conflict led to the unification of a nation that would be blessed with more prosperity and freedom than any nation in the modern era. No matter how dark the situation is, when God's children humbly sought His help, they always found comfort, peace, and promise in the hands of their Lord. The same is true today. What He can do even in the darkest moments and with the deepest wounds is becoming clearly evident. I recently listened to a sermon by well-known author Max Lucado. At one point in the lesson on God's love, he said, "Does a mother go through the pain of birthing a child and then leave it at the hospital? Does the father go through all the work of filing for adoption and then leave the child at the orphanage?" Max asked the question, "Will God sacrifice His Son to save you and then not take care of you?" The answer is clearly no. Even in the darkest of times, the hardest of situations, God pours out His blessings on each of us according to the measure of our ability to trust Him and receive them, our faith. In preparation for Thanksgiving tomorrow, please take some time to focus on and count the blessings that fill each day. Even if you feel doubts about God's generosity towards you, please give it a try. Like the Israelites, the pilgrims, and early Americans, you'll be amazed at His faithfulness. You'll rediscover God's caring heart and your own ability to trust and follow Him to your promised destination. This must have come from a friend of his by the name of Steve to Horace Hooper, because it says, "Stay strong in spirit, bold in praise, and humble in prayer. I remain His servant and your friend, Steve." Tonight, I want us to take a serious look at Leviticus chapter 7, verse 15. It says, "Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of His thanksgiving, it shall be eaten on the day of His offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning." Some days ago, in preparation for this message tonight, I came to the conclusion that I should give you some information. Leviticus 7:15. And then I told myself to read verses 11 through 15. And you notice I've obeyed myself tonight. We've done that. Thanksgiving is a special time shared by all Americans who gather together to eat tons of turkey, watch parades and football games, and share with one another all of the reasons they are thankful. Thanksgiving is a national holiday rooted in the history of this great country. In 1621, pilgrims and Puritans celebrated Thanksgiving for the full harvest they received from God. And by 1789, our first president, George Washington, marked Thanksgiving, I quote now, "as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God." However, the nation of offering thanks to God didn't originate with the pilgrims and Puritans who immigrated to America. It actually goes all the way back as far as the book of Leviticus. And that's where we are in the magnificent Old Testament. I promised you that I would deal with Jesus in every book of the Bible. We've looked at the book of Genesis and found some interesting things. We looked at the book of Exodus. We looked at the book now of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is full of commands and laws from God for the Israelites to offer up sacrifices on certain days at certain times for certain reasons. The majority of these sacrifices were required of the Israelites, and so there was no ifs and ands or buts about it. However, there was one sacrifice in the book of Leviticus that wasn't a requirement. This sacrifice was to be a pure expression of thanks to God. What's interesting, and you may or may not know this, it was called Todah, T-O-D-A-H. If you look that word up in the Hebrew, you will discover that it means thanks, thank offering. In fact, today, when you travel to Israel, one of the first words you'll learn in the Hebrew is Todah, which emphasizes thank you. When the thankful Israelites would arrive at the temple, he or they would give a portion of his bread, or the person would, about 5 loaves to the priest. The priest would take the offering lamb or goat and sacrifice it to the Lord. That whole lamb would be offered up to God. After it's been cooked, the priest would take that barbecued lamb off the altar and give it to the thankful Israelites, who was required to eat all of it by the end of the day. I want to pause for a few moments and tell you that there'll be food on your table tomorrow, and some of you may try to eat it all before the end of the day. This is what the people of Israel were told to do. The end of the day, they were to have it all eaten. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. That is very interesting to me. I love the way that the Lord set up this, or structured this sacrifice. If you'll notice that, first of all, it wasn't required, which means God doesn't want a manufactured thank you from us. I want to pause for a moment and let you see what I'm trying to drive at. Oh, it's so easy for us to say thank you when really we don't mean it, or we don't have much content in the statement that we're making. I love the way the Lord structured this particular sacrifice. First, it wasn't required, which means God doesn't want a manufactured thank you from us. Instead, he wants us to give thanks, to give him praise, give him thanks. And he wants it to come from our heart, not from our mind, just from the standpoint of it should be done. Secondly, when I think in terms of the sacrifice that is presented in Leviticus here, the Lord didn't take sacrifice for himself. It was for the thankful Israelites. So tonight I want to deal with a subject. What really is the true meaning of thanksgiving? I thought about this quite a bit. When I first started looking forward to this Wednesday night, I was of the opinion that I could just go pick up one of my sermons on Thanksgiving, which I have in file, and present that, and leave off entirely the book of Leviticus. But then as I got myself into this magnificent book, and I found so many things about the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, I decided that what I wanted to do was to present to you the introduction, which I've already given, and then move to thanksgiving from a grateful heart. Roman number 1. Thanksgiving means to gratefully acknowledge benefits and favors, especially if we're using the word with relationship to our Heavenly Father. Let's pause and analyze that statement. I've thought about it. Thanksgiving means to gratefully acknowledge benefits and favors. One of the things that the Bible teaches us is that an advanced believer has a thankful heart. If you've advanced over the period of years studying God's Word consistently and faithfully, I believe that you have inside a thankful heart. It is sad when people are not thankful. We should be thankful to the members of our family for the things that they do. It should be an easy thing for us to say from our heart, thank you, Todah. Because I promise you, it's important for us to have a grateful heart. Thanksgiving means to gratefully acknowledge benefits and favors, especially if we're using the word with relationship to our Heavenly Father. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you thankful that you're on your way to heaven? Are you thankful that you're saved by God's grace? Are you thankful for daily blessings, logistical provisions? Are you thankful for your loved ones, your family, your friends? I want you to realize that over the years, I seem to see myself as being more thankful. Thankful for my family. Thankful for my companion of 61, almost 62 years. Thankful. Over and over again. Thankful. What I'm trying to do in my life at this stage is to be appreciative and express my thanksgiving. I believe it's important that we do that. And I believe that the more we advance in God's Word, the more we're going to be thankful. And the more we're going to be able to say that with a heart that means it. It's not a matter of just simply saying thank you with words. It's a matter of saying thank you when it really comes from the depth of your heart. Thanksgiving means then to gratefully acknowledge benefits and favors. Especially if we're using that word in relationship to God, our Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you're only one breath away from being in the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever? Do you realize that you're only one heartbeat away from spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? I realize this more and more. The older I get, the more I realize that I'm not going to be here as long as I've already been here. I realize that time for all of us is very short. So it is important for us to understand that we ought to have to our Heavenly Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ, a thankful heart. Now, most of the time I don't do this, but tonight I'm going to do it. I want you to have some Bible verse practice. We're going to be looking at the verses that I have on the screen. If you cannot see them from where you're sitting, I'm going to call them out. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible. I'm going to stand here and wait for you to get there. So I want you to know that I'm going to expect you to turn. First of all, let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I'm aware of the fact that it takes a little time to turn through the pages of God's Word, but you practice with me, Tim. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Find ourselves down in verse 2. Now I believe you found it. I'm going to read it. In this particular translation, it says, this is Colossians 4, 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. I'm not sure what particular translation you have. This is the New American Standard Bible that I'm reading out of. And I read, and I repeat, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That's Colossians 4, 2. On the screen you see now 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to find your way over to 1 Timothy. This is good for you to practice turning the pages to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be looking in just a few moments at verses 3 and 4. I'm going to start up, since you're trying to find it, with verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Did you notice what that first verse says? The Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared and by those who believe and know the truth. But verse 4 now, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it be received with gratitude. If you will now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, And let's go down to verse 15. It's interesting to me to take these verses. I take my highlighter and I highlight them. That's the reason why I have the mark, so I can go to them and find them quickly. But I'm giving you time now to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, which says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." How beautiful that is. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. You found it. Perhaps you've underlined it, highlighted it. That's good. Now let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Go down to verse 12. Saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." When you look at Revelation 7:12, you will discover that John out there on the Isle of Patmos is saying something here about blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving. And then it says, "And honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Have you noticed how beautiful the words are here? We have a series of words: blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. I'm taking time tonight to let you follow me as we turn to these passages of Scripture. And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, we have those beautiful, magnificent words. Now, if you will, go to Leviticus 7. Where do we find ourselves in our study this evening? Leviticus chapter 7. On the screen, you will see that I have put down verses 12 through 15. I read for you tonight verses 11 through 15. And I look with you again at our verse for this evening. "Now, as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning." Now, if you will, please, let's go to some other verses. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 14. Psalm chapter 50, verse 14. I'm giving you time to look that passage up. It's in the middle of the Bible, of the Old Testament. You'll find Psalm. Go, if you will, please, to chapter 50 and verse 14. "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." It'd be great if you would underline that passage. Psalm 50, verse 14. "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving." On the screen you see now Psalm 95, verse 2. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture, Psalm 95, verse 2. "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." Actually, that's what we were doing tonight, is we were singing. We sang some beautiful songs this evening. Look at you, if you will, please, at the first verse. "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." I'm not through. Let's go to Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5. Psalm 103, 3 through 5. No wonder it didn't look right. Psalm 100, verses 3. Well, we just did that one, didn't we? Okay. Psalm 147. I'll give you time to find it. 147. Psalm 147, verse 7. "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre." Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Now, we've not done this before, but you've done very well. I want to compliment you tonight Thanksgiving means to be grateful, to gratefully acknowledge benefits and favors, especially if we're using the word with relationship to our Heavenly Father. There are a number of scripture passages dealing with the subject. We've gone through these. Colossians 4, 2, 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians 9, 15, Revelation 7, 12, Leviticus 7, 11 through 15, Psalm 50, 14, Psalm 95, 2, Psalm 103 through 5, and Psalm 147, 7. That takes me to Roman numeral 2. Thanksgiving is not a once-a-year occasion. Thanksgiving should be a daily experience. It is the daily expression of our gratitude to God. It is not physical food, but spiritual food that every Christian needs. Therefore, when a person has grown in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, he will have capacity for gratitude. A person who knows God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, and God's compassion will have an overflowing attitude of gratitude. I'm going to encourage you, if you will, please, to write this passage down, 1 Chronicles 16, 7 to 36. We're not going to read the passage, but I would encourage you to write it down. 1 Chronicles 16, 7 through 36, Roman numeral 3. Thanksgiving, then, should be a normal daily activity for the born-again believer. When you go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 20, here's what you read, the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesian believers. Be always thankful for all things in the sphere of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Father. I've taken this scripture to heart, Ephesians 5, 20. Be always thankful for all things. And I reminded you a few years ago that we had trouble in our backyard with our sewer system. And I don't know whether you have that problem or not ever, but I'm sure that you find yourself in that situation, and it's not a pleasant situation at all. And in the midst of all this, the scripture came to my mind, be ye always thankful for all things. And I got to thinking about this particular situation in which I found myself. Now, I don't think you got the message yet, because I'm trying to tell you that that's not a very pleasant thing. I mean, the aroma is not good. Could I say anything else to you to make you see that I'm reminding myself that the Scripture says be thankful in all things? And here I am, and I'm telling myself the Scripture says to me be thankful in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Roman numeral 4, for a Christian to be truly thankful, he must not only know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but have what I believe is an expanding knowledge of God's wonderful Word. Why do we come here so consistently? Why are we faithful in the study of God's Word? I admire and appreciate you for your faithfulness. But I want you to realize that when we study God's Word, it is for our own benefit. It causes us to be able to see what God has in store for us on a day-by-day basis. What I've said here, and I want you to go back and look at what I'm saying, for a Christian to be truly thankful, he must not only know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but have an expanded knowledge of God's Word, the wonderful Word of God, the Bible. The reason why it's so challenging to me to present messages on Jesus from every book of the Bible is because I've never done this before. In all the years of my ministry, I have never taken a look at Jesus in every book of the Old Testament until now. And I want you to realize that it is a little bit frustrating to me, because I am able to see that there's so much in each one of these books. And I see that the time of Christmas Eve is coming up so rapidly, and I could see myself being a little bit uptight about that situation. And one of our dear men wrote me an encouraging note. And I want you to know that it meant so much to me, because The purpose of that note was encouraging the minister to keep on keeping on, and to understand that if we don't get through the Old Testament books by Christmas Eve, the Lord just might give us a few months of next year. So I just want you to know that I'm more relaxed now about that. In both the Old and New Testaments, there's an emphasis upon the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You probably haven't even thought about it, but you notice the word sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, we talk about thanksgiving, but this is saying the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In both the Old and New Testaments, there is an emphasis upon the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What this is saying is that this worship depends upon a relationship with God in knowledge. When you go to the book of Amos, chapter 4, verse 5, it says, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. When you go to Psalm 116, verse 17, the psalmist says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 107, verse 22. Let them also offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his words with happy singing. Now, did you notice the various passages of Scripture? There's Amos 4, 5. There's Psalm 116, verse 17. And there's Psalm 107, verse 22. Let's look at those again. Amos 4, 5 says, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. I'm always amazed at the word leaven and unleaven. I don't want to be unkind to anyone, but years ago, in one of the places where we were, a fellow was reading along and he came to the word leaven and he said, oh, I think they made a mistake. That should be heaven. But that wasn't the case at all. Amos 4, 5 says, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Psalm 116, verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 107, verse 22, let them also offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his words with happy singing. Number 6, Roman numeral 6. Thanksgiving is dependent upon the stability of the believer. Each person here tonight is aware of the fact that you've been a Christian X number of years. You've been studying God's Word X number of weeks or months or years. In this auditorium tonight, there are individuals who perhaps haven't been Christians all that long, and some have been Christians for many, many years. What have you done over the years, if you've been a Christian for many, many years, what have you done in your desire to study and to grow and advance in God's wonderful Word? If you've done so consistently and faithfully, then you have a stability tonight that is really wonderful. If you've been indifferent along the way, then you perhaps do not have tonight the stability that you need and should have. I'm not being ugly to anyone. I'm simply saying that if God gives us some more days, we have the responsibility of becoming more and more stable. Thanksgiving is dependent upon the stability of the believer. I'm going to pause right here and tell you, because some of you have not heard this, you probably need to hear it, and that is, we have a moment of silent prayer at the beginning of each service. And you may wonder why, but the reason for that is, we encourage, pastor including, to be in fellowship, in harmony, in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Which means that God has a plan for the believer to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. Not something unusual or odd, it is something that's normal. And God wants us at the beginning of the service to be sure, and if we get out of fellowship during the service, to be sure we get back in. But God designed for us to be in right relationship with Christ while we receive His Word. While we're receiving His Word, the Spirit of God then works to deliver the message to the individual hearts. What I realize, and this is so wonderful for me to know that I can preach, But it's God who takes the word and makes it impressive in the lives of individuals. It's the magnificent power of the Spirit of God that brings things to your remembrance. There are times when you will hear me preaching and something will happen in your mind that will be something different than the words that were spoken. But it will be the fact that the Holy Spirit has brought about an impression upon your heart and mind and life that God intended for you to have. There was never a part of the message prepared by me. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I want you to see is that God is in the business of interpreting His message to your hearts. That's the reason why it's very important that we stay in fellowship with Him while the Word of God is being proclaimed. While the Word of God is being proclaimed, what's going to happen? Some individuals at a particular time may receive 10 or 15 or 20 or 30% of the information, while others are receiving 50, 60, or 70% of the information. God is doing it. I'm not doing it. It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to give the Word, and the Holy Spirit ministers the Word. So we see then, thanksgiving is dependent upon the stability of the believer. We are thankful, determined by our advance, really. The depth of our thanksgiving is determined by our advance. That's the reason why when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Colossian believers, he said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Now, I'm very tempted to get into that verse and tell you some things about that one body. That one body is emphasizing the body of Jesus Christ that is being formulated between the time of Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture on the other hand. We live there now. But I won't be dealing with that, even though that's fun to talk about. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." The word "thankful" here is the present active imperative verb. You wouldn't expect me to go through a service without saying something about a verb, would you? So I want you to see it. The word "thankful" in Colossians 3:15 is a present active imperative of the word Eucharistos. Let's look at this word for a little bit. You're going to appreciate this and enjoy it. It is in the Greek, Euchartos. We get our word Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper, from this. Next Sunday, after the second service, at the conclusion, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. But I want you to see that the word here is the present active imperative verb of that word. I put it out in English for you to see. Euchartos. Which is a command to keep on being thankful. Something which you were not before is what was said in relationship to the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God." I must hasten. Daniel 2:23. Daniel said, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might." Jesus, one day, standing at the tomb of Lazarus, just before he called Lazarus forth from the grave, prayed and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me." A beautiful thought indeed. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." What he is saying there is, Jesus is saying, before this event, you already knew what was in my thinking. And that same thing is true for us. Oftentimes, before we ever say a prayer, we have to understand that God understood it before we ever prayed it. So, Jesus, standing at the tomb of Lazarus, just before he called Lazarus, "Come forth," prayed and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me." The Apostle Paul in Romans 1:8 says, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ." In Philippians 1:3, Paul said, "I thank my God." In 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always. You see how beautiful these verses are? In 2 Timothy 1:3, the Apostle Paul again says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with a clean conscience, as unceasingly I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. Colossians 2:7, having been rooted and having been built up in him and being confirmed in the faith as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Do you see tonight how wonderful it is to be thankful? I want to close by putting in parentheses this last statement. After being taught, a person overflows with thanksgiving. After having this wonderful time of going through all of these beautiful verses, I believe that they should encourage us to be thankful. I find thanksgiving in the book of Leviticus also. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful that you've given us this day and that you bless all of us so richly. We realize how wonderful and how magnificent your grace is to us. We're saved by your grace. We're kept and blessed by your grace daily. We have the assurance that one day when it's time for us to go home to our Lord in heaven, it's by your grace that we'll make that transfer. And so we're thankful this evening for the fact that Jesus Christ has provided everything that all of us need on a day-by-day basis. Especially those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that great need that they have has already been met. When our Lord was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth and die on the cross for the sins of the world, to be buried and to come forth out of the grave, to ascend and then sit at the Father's right hand, to save anyone who will believe. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Father, we're thankful that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those, even at this very moment, who will trust you. And we thank you over and over again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.